111. Let's stand as we sing unto the Lord. Let's unite in prayer at the throne of God this evening, and as we come to this closing Sunday service for the year that has gone by, let's just give the Lord our praises and also pray for His comforting presence with us. Our God and our Father, we approach Thy throne with thankfulness this evening and with our praises. For we are a blessed people, and Thou art gracious. Thank You, Lord, that You pity us, as a father pitieth his children. You remember that we are made of dust, and You bless us, not because we deserve it, but because You grant us Your sovereign grace. Thank You for every born-again believer in our meeting tonight. Thank You for each one who is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank You for the assurance of sins forgiven. Thank You for every victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that our hearts are turned toward heaven. And that our backs are toward the world in every wicked way. Lord, Thou hast promised that You will hear the cry of the righteous. We plead the righteousness of our Lord Jesus, all His obedient life, all the value of His atoning death, and all the intercession of our Lord at Thy right hand. O God, we pray tonight that You will also send the Holy Spirit to comfort many hearts. We pray for that sweet ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to write upon our hearts the blessedness and the forgiveness of sins, to lead us into that gospel rest, into the ark of your keeping, into fellowship, and to enjoy the peace that passeth all understanding. We pray for those who are troubled in heart. We pray for those that have endured bereavement even in this year. This year will mark a grave, will mark an empty seat, will mark trouble and trial. And yet, Lord, there is hope and there is blessed assurance. And we pray that you will minister great grace to the troubled heart this evening, even to those who join us by webcast, perhaps sitting alone, perhaps without hope. May the hope of our blessed Lord Jesus fill that heart tonight. Bless the youth of this congregation. O Lord, there are so many temptations, so many avenues for sin. And we know that they lead to destruction, to misery. We pray for a hedge about the families of this church. We pray for that divine protection, that each one will be led safely into knowing the Savior and to walking with the Savior. We pray that you will strengthen your people in this church. May each one know that what has been done for Christ will last, that we shall not lose our reward, and that it is no vain thing to serve the Lord. Let that assurance also comfort us tonight. And we pray that as we open your word and time this evening, that you will come and minister to us. Lord, this is thy church. These are thy people. We are sheep of thy pasture. We pray to be fed by the hand of the Lord tonight. Oh, hear our cry and minister to us, we pray and ask in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We're coming to the hymn book again, for those who use a hymn book, and that's number 108. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. 108, We Three Kings. Let's stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our Bible reading is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And we are going to read together from 57 onward. And again, I hope that you will read along as we come to this wonderful portion of God's Word. Luke chapter 1, commencing at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them led them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your heart this evening. Mr. Robinson, please come and bring our announcements this evening.
Once again, folks, we thank you for coming out tonight, and you're very welcome. And we're looking forward to the service again, to the preaching of the word, and also to the singing by our young people, which will be just a little later. We heard them practicing earlier, and they were pulling it together pretty good. So we thank the Lord for that. So again, the announcements are very brief. This week, as it's the holiday week, we don't have any other further meetings. The prayer meeting is in recess until the following week. And in the will of the Lord, the Reverend Gallagher will be with us again for the first Sunday of next year, which sounds like a long time away, but here we are in the final minutes of this year in the Lord's house, and time flies. But also remember that the Sunday school will resume again on the 9th, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. And services will be at 11 o'clock this morning. That may be for the benefit of one or two that might have missed a cue on that this morning, so just remember that the service is at 11. Also, the daily reading calendars, which I think many of you have already availed yourself of, are at the front of the church. And and we've already had some inquiries about people who can't make it, so I guess it's possible for us to be able to PDF this document. And so give us a call if you need to get it for next Sunday so you can keep on schedule. Also, bear in mind the week of prayer coming up in a number of weeks, starting the January the 24th. Keep that in mind, and that the Lord would certainly bless us at the beginning of another year, and that many souls will be added to the kingdom. And also, we are hoping to have a baptismal service on the Wednesday evening. We have one or two already that have indicated that, and we'd just like to leave it with you. Those that are with us and those that are online, if you feel led to be baptized, to make a public declaration of your faith at this time, then let us know as soon as possible. And obviously, this is our last Sunday of the year, as I reminded you this morning, so I know the accountant types want to make sure that you get your donations in by the end of this year. We have much more flexibility now because of other means of contributing through the use of credit card or through electronic funds or transfer, e-transfers. So you have until Friday to do that. So make sure if you use those that we will not accept a donation January the 1st for this year by those means. If you send in a check, make sure it's dated for the end of the year, even though we may get it a few days later, we will still consider that as part of this year, but we do cut off fairly quickly for income tax purposes, so bear that in mind. So I'll leave that with you. Remember, I just got announced some information from our church in Indianapolis that they've had quite an outbreak of COVID. I don't know what whether it's the Omicron or the Delta, but there have been some serious situations that have evolved from that. So keep the congregation in your prayers. Mr. McLennan called me about that this afternoon, that he heard this, and so some have had to be admitted to hospital because of this. So this virus is still plaguing us, so let's not let up our guard and be careful in what we do and say in this regard, and also pray that the Lord will make this pass very quickly and his purposes will be achieved. So once again, we're pleased to welcome the Reverend Gallagher. He's no stranger to us. Our pastor's away. I don't think anybody around here doesn't know that, away to the States to visit his family. And it has been a blessed time that they've been able to get together at this time in North Carolina. So we pray the Lord will bless them. And also James and Diana Fraser are meeting with their family down in South Carolina, so we pray the Lord will bless them and bring them back safely. There's quite an uncertainty about the protocols and all the requirements that you have to meet in travel, so pray the Lord will overrule and they'll come back safely. And for others that I don't know of, likewise, let us remember each other at this time of the year, as these are trying times, but we thank the Lord that he is sovereignty and control. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Mr. Robinson, for bringing the announcements and filling everyone in on these details. It's always nice to have elders and those who are involved in these things to bring these announcements. From Beulah and myself, we want to wish you all God's blessing as we soon launch into a new year, 2022. I never thought I would ever make it. And I'm sure there were times through 2021 you may have thought the same. This has been a trying year in many ways for many, many people. As you know, I ended my pastoral ministry in Cloverdale on March 14th, And so we set out to drive across Canada. We decided to wait it out a few weeks until the snow in the mountains would clear. And so in April, we made our trip across. We were in Calgary, we're in Alberta, when we heard the news that Manitoba was not allowing anyone passing through to stop overnight. So we had to gear our travel so that we were close enough and able to get right through that province and into Ontario. And I can assure you, when we got into Kenora, that was the first town we arrived into in Ontario, we sighed a great sigh of relief. We've made it into Ontario, and Manitoba can have the rest of the winter to themselves. We were so thankful to make it over. And then when we made it down to this part of the world, we did not have the key to our home, and so we were in Collingwood for a good number of weeks, right up to July, when we got the key to our home in Barrie. And we're thankful for the Lord's provision and for that place that we can spend these years. And we're attending, of course, the Barrie Church with the Reverend D'Adurno. And it's taken some time for us just to feel that we're on the inside of the congregation. And I come to experience for myself what it's like to go to a new church. Now, I may have said before, we have all the benefits of kind of a Tim Hortons experience, a franchise, or a church where they use the same Bible, the same hymn book, the same doctrine, the same everything else. But there's no two church families the same. And so it has taken us some time to get to know everyone by name and to get involved in praying for them. Prayer meetings are still by Zoom on midweek. And so that's been a good time to get to know the prayer burdens of the congregation. And I had another experience in Barrie this week. As you know, my car was giving trouble, so I dropped it off at the shop, left it for a while, took a walk till they diagnosed what it was. Then he said, well, we're going to have to keep it overnight. So that was meaning me hoofing it back home again. Well, I went about 3 miles, and I thought there has to be a better way. So I went to the bus hub right in Barrie, and I learned the bus system. I learned that out of the generosity of Barrie, that seniors travel at a lower rate. And for those who travel under the age of 65, it's $3.25. If you're a senior, you can travel for $3. So I had an extra quarter to spend after that one. But in the Lord's goodness, I found a dollar on the seat beside me. So I was privileged. I washed it, by the way, when I got home. You never know where a coin has been. And so all of the joys of experiencing new life. And for those who are mechanically minded, it was a starter problem with our vehicle. So hopefully a new starter that will be dependable and keep us going for some time. But you haven't come tonight to hear all of these things. You have come tonight to sing the praises of the Lord. We're looking forward to the choir singing after this hymn, and then we'll get down to our message this evening. Let's turn to the hymn 127, The Savior of the World. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. 127. Amen. And now we have the youth choir coming to sing for us. We appreciate their ministry tonight. And on their second piece, O Come All Ye Faithful, we're going to sing verse 4, joining with them as a congregation. That's number 88 in the hymn book as the second piece, O Come All Ye Faithful. Amen. Thank you very much for singing tonight. And we're coming to our message time. We're going to go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and our text, verses 78 and 79, Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's pray a moment, please. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the day spring, the bright and morning star, the hope of all the world, and those that sit in darkness. We pray for the multitudes of the world who presently, this hour, do sit in darkness and live under the shadow of death. O God, we pray for the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, to come and bring revival, light to the souls of men. We pray for our own nation. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for all who live under the shadow of death, to know the life-giving grace that is in our Savior. Come to us tonight. Bless in every aspect of this meeting. May your voice be clear to our hearts. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This evening we come, believe it or not, to the very final Sunday meeting of this year. 2021, I know, will go down as a year of darkness for many, many people in this world. Canada has just reached over 30,000 who have been taken from us by COVID-19. The United States of America have just reached and gone over the mark of 800,000 deaths attributed to COVID-19. It has been horrendous, more than we could ever have imagined. I, like many others, thought that in our modern day, that we were past the times of pandemics, of worldwide plague visiting the populations of the earth. And Christians and non-Christians alike bear the same burden. The virus is just as happy to attack the body of a redeemed, born-again believer as the body of an ungodly sinner. And we're all subject to the curse of a fallen world. And this is a world with a dark shadow cast upon it. I think you know what I'm talking about when people feel the gloom. When you visit public places with people milling about, covered in masks, distancing, quickening their step that they might keep a distance from others, there is without question, and rightly so, a spirit of fear. And of course, that fear is the fear of death. I'm also aware tonight that in this congregation, many families have suffered the visit of the enemy of death. And at this Christmas season and the close of this year, there's an empty place at the table in your home. I know a little of the darkness of bereavement. I lost my father when I was 17 years old. I had two sisters and a brother. My dad was 51 years old. He died as a result of a car accident, hit, struck by a train. It plunged our family into great darkness. Many nights I left my mother weeping herself to sleep. It took weeks and weeks before we even noticed that we would smile again. When you're in bereavement, it appears to us that smiling or laughing is a betrayal of the great loss that we have endured. There are the initial days of shock, and then the realization that life will never be the same again, and then the constant push against the gloom to find a new normality, because the old normality will never return anymore. Like a wound or a broken bone, we walk with a limp. Bereavement changes us, changes our outlook, it changes our perspective on life. It brings to us a sense of reality that life and death are real issues. When my father passed at that young age, I had no answers. There was no light in my soul. Our home was filled with gloom. Until a year later, my mother exhorted me to go with her to Oma Free Presbyterian Church. And there I heard Reverend Reggie Cranston preaching the gospel morning and evening. It was there I learned that there is hope. There is a Savior for sinners, and there is one who can give us life. This verse 78 in Luke chapter 1 refers to the Lord Jesus as the day spring from on high, and that he hath visited us. The Lord Jesus is the morning star of hope. He comes in the darkness. He comes in the depths of our gloom. And he brings light, hope, and salvation. You'll notice in those verses, the very word salvation is mentioned. If you go back to verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. How does the Lord Jesus deliver souls out of darkness? Will you ask that question tonight and allow me to answer it here from this very portion of God's Word in Luke chapter 1? The Lord Jesus delivers our souls from darkness by coming as the light of the world. You know those seven I ams in John's Gospel. One of them that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is the light of the world because he himself is the light of glory. We looked at this last week in John 1, that he was full of grace and full of glory. All the glory of the Godhead was in the Son. And when he came down into the darkness, the gloom of this world, he came to open eyes to behold the light and the knowledge of God. And Jesus is the light of the world because he dispels the darkness in our souls by revealing to us something of the glory of God. Now, I say something because we're finite and God is infinite. No man hath seen the glory of God and lived. But there is a revealing of the knowledge of God to the souls of men that happens to believers. We know that it happened to Abraham. If you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 7, and tonight I'm going to make you do some Bible work. I'm going to ask you to thumb through a few different references. And here in Acts chapter 7, we see here that the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, before he went out of Ur of the Chaldees. What was it that brought Abraham out of the idolatry and the heathendom of that culture? He got to see the glory of the true and the living God. And the Lord Jesus came into this world to be that express image of the Father, to reveal the glory of the Father. Now, we're still in Acts 7, and if you go toward the end of the passage, you will see that this glory was also given to Stephen upon his martyrdom. And we read here in verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Now, Stephen was a man who already had the Holy Ghost living in him. He was a man of faith, a man of fellowship with God. But here in his dying hour, he was privileged to see afresh the glory of God. And so the Lord Jesus does come in the midst of our darkness and in the midst of our gloom, and he reveals the glory of the Father to us. How often the Lord Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And if you know Christ, you know the living God. This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent." Now the unbelieving ask, "Where is thy Father?" And Jesus said, "Ye know neither me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." And that's why we are called to preach Christ. If you want to know God, you need to know his Son. I'm not sure if I've told this story before. It's an illustration of a neighbor who moved into a community, and the house next door was walled. There was a fence, a wall. There was no way to appear to the inside. And nobody really knew who lived in there. But periodically, out from that home would come a boy. Just a boy. And all eyes were upon him. Why? Because he was the reflection of the father, the family. He was all that they could know about the father, the family. And the Lord Jesus is come into this world of darkness to reveal the Father to us. And so we are called to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And in this fallen world, a world of death, a world of darkness, Jesus is the light of the world. And to minister to your heart tonight, in the sorrows of death, bereavement, trials, troubles. Look unto Jesus. He is the comforter of our souls in need. And we who sit in darkness and under the shadow of death, He has come to give us light, the day spring, the morning star that fills our hearts with hope. Secondly, Jesus delivers us from the darkness of death, not only by visiting the world, but by conquering the world. Because He isn't just come to visit this sin-cursed world, He came to conquer our enemy called death. And behind that enemy called death is, of course, the Prince of Darkness, the one who was a murderer from the beginning. And Satan lays his claims upon his captives by their sins. Every sin in a sinner's heart cries out a reason that you belong to darkness and to Satan. But of course, the Lord Jesus is come that He might destroy the powers of the wicked one. And the world then was crying out for a deliverer. Who shall it be? This day spring from on high hath visited us, and He's come to conquer death and to conquer the grave. The whole ministry of Christ was to get victory in this world. The whole purpose of His death was that He would slay the arch enemy of our souls and put to flight the devil himself. Let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 13. And here we learn in the expository remarks of the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 2 and 13, the conquering work of our Lord Jesus. And you being dead in your trust in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. There is no life while you are under the curse of sin. How did Jesus do this? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And there is the place where our Lord Jesus, the light of the world, the Savior of sinners, the conqueror of death, slew this enemy. And it tells us in verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What a wonderful Savior we have. His work is triumphant. Sin is paid for, and therefore Satan is put to flight. Now, another passage that is very enlightening is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. This is the triumphant work of our Lord Jesus. All our sins are laid on Him, and all His righteousness comes to us for our healing and for our salvation. And the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And that's the hope, and that's the light. One has put it that if we are born once, we will die twice. But if we are born twice, we will but die once. That's the triumph of the Lord Jesus on behalf of his people. Now, the absolute proof of these things, of course, is the Lord's own resurrection. If we didn't have a living Savior today who triumphed over death in the tomb and rose victoriously again, how could we possibly preach that Jesus came to conquer the world? But this is the triumph indeed. Now, John 16, 28, I want you to turn with me to that passage tonight. John 16 and 28. Let's hear the Lord Jesus as he rehearses these things himself and take these to heart. John 16 and verse 28. I came forth from the Father, and I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a wonderful note to end the old year. While death would cast its shadow on our lives to steal our joy, remember, Christian, the triumphant note of the Lord Jesus. I have overcome the world. And he will overcome COVID-19. And in the midst of it, he will build his church. He has a purpose in sending this plague on the earth. There is a humbling work that is being done. And we must pray that there be a preparatory work, that God will lift the cloud and send the light of the gospel to the nations of the world that are living under this burden. That's the confidence that we have that the Lord Jesus is that day spring visiting those that sit in darkness and under the cloud of death. The Lord Jesus will also deliver us from the darkness by returning again to this world. This cannot be just a temporary light, or a light that's in this world only. It is light that will set our feet in motion in the way of peace, the text tells us. This brings true peace, peace that endures, peace that passes all understanding. And the Lord Jesus comforted his disciples with the absolute assurance that while he would go away from them, that he would return again. And you know the bottom line statement where Paul said, We therefore sorrow not as others sorrow without hope. Now there are going to be some glorious events when the Lord Jesus returns. And I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 14. And we will see here some of these events that take place upon our Savior's return. He's coming to lift his people out of this world, and he's going to finish his work. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. And you'll notice that it begins with the resurrection. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, that's the big if, isn't it? Now, in the grammar of this text, it can be in the subjunctive, meaning since. Since it is true, or since we know, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again. This is a verity of our faith. There is no question mark on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. He is indeed risen, the one who came to lift the burden upon a cursed world under the cloud of death, rose, cast off the shroud of death, and rose triumphantly. And he's coming again, we're told. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You'll notice how death for the Christian is described as sleep. Now, for some it will be a long sleep. For some it will be a short sleep. But those who are departed from us, they are not gone. They are not lost. They sleep in Jesus. Their souls are united to him. Their souls are with him in glory. The souls of the just made perfect in the presence of God. And then we move down to verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ. We need to remember those who are believers and departed from us, that they are dead in Christ, in union with him. And while their bodies are led to the earth, their souls are united with the Lord, those bodies will be raised up again when that trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means they will be caught up, reunited with their souls in the air with the Lord, while those who are yet alive on the earth, family members, friends, whoever, while they are yet on the earth, the dead who are in the grave are by no means second-rated or hindered, but rather they have the advantage that they will rise first. And this is the day spring, the morning star. This is the Savior that God has sent into the world, that he would do these things for his people. He didn't come just to give out empty promises. He didn't come just to preach an empty gospel. He came that he would bring his people home perfectly into the very presence of God the Father. Now, eschatology is wonderful and exciting, but sometimes it's hard to get all the pieces of the puzzle together. I want to give you a short list, seven things. They are, in my mind, in my Bible reading, chronological. They are the steps that take place when that trumpet sounds. Firstly, some will die and leave us. That was something that the first century Christian had to grapple with. Jesus gave us all these promises. And now, my loved one, my wife, my husband, mother, father, child, is cold. The body is to be buried. What kind of hope and promise is this? The Apostle Paul stepped into the vacuum of the first century Christians and their way of thinking, and he laid out these steps. Yes, Christians washed in the blood, redeemed, born again, filled with the Spirit, die. We leave this world. Number two, the soul of that beloved will go to be with the Lord, and the body shall sleep in the earth until the day of reunion. That body is a redeemed body, a precious body. Psalm 16 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That body will wait in its grave until the glorious day of the Lord's return. I always count it consoling to be able to stand at an open grave. When they lower the body, and not often, but sometimes, right there with the people gazing, the earth covers over the casket. But I can announce on the authority of the gospel, this grave shall open. This body shall rise again. Number three, during that time, the soul will be fully alive with conscious awareness of the glory of the Lord in heaven. Hebrews 12 speaks about the spirits of the just made perfect. But they are spirits or souls without a body, but they're alive. They are praising. They enter into all the blessedness of heavenly life in that state. And they would never wish to return to earth to enter into the Adamic nature state again. They're with the Lord. And that alone is a great comfort. And a mature Christian would never wish them to be back. I know that in our grieving, heart-aching moments, we may sob and we may say, just for another day or another few hours. But if we understood the glory that our beloved, believing, departed family members are enjoying, we would be thankful that for them it's glory. Number four, on the day the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns, he will bring the souls of believers with him on that second appearing, when every eye shall see his glorious body. We believe in the visible return of the Son of Man in bodily form as the Redeemer of his people, and he's going to bring all the souls of every believer with him. At that trumpet, at the bat of an eye, in an atom of time, the graves of believers who died in the Lord will open for all who sleep in Jesus to be raised up in a new, glorious, resurrected body that will bear likeness to the Son of God. This is our hope tonight. This is our confidence and our comfort. Incorruptible souls will reunite with incorruptible bodies. And if you read 1 Corinthians 15, you'll see the apostle's great example of a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it shall live again. And just as that corn of wheat dies in the ground, it will bear new seed. And the mystery of that germination of new life at the death of the parent seed is Paul's illustration of the resurrection of our bodies, sowed in corruption, reaped in incorruption. Do you believe that tonight? Is that your faith? Is that your gospel? Then the apostle comes with his pastoral word of counsel. We ought to sorrow not as others sorrow without hope. So that's five. Number six, then the believers who are alive on the earth will be raised up also and given new incorruptible bodies. We will not go to the grave if we're still alive when Jesus comes. We will immediately be caught up in the air with that great reunion of the church in the clouds with our Lord and Savior. But our bodies will be changed at that instant. And we will be fitted for the eternal state. And then we shall be welcomed into a new heaven and a new earth to reign with Christ. Now, I know that somebody somewhere is going to say, Ian, you missed a piece. You missed a part of it. Of course I did. I do not claim to know every detail of that great eventful day. But I know it's the promise of my Savior. And it's the comfort of my heart when we miss our beloved. You'll see that the apostle gave these great truths to comfort the hearts of troubled people. Believers are to make full use of these truths in the events ahead of Christians who are to be joined to the Lord by faith. This is the best medicine to heal our sorrowing hearts. I had to make a decision as I thought about preaching this message tonight. Either I deal with bereavement and sorrow in a passing stroke, or I deal with it head on. And I know that the medicine, even just to be called to remember our loved one, is painful. But here is the comfort. And here is the blessedness. The Lord Jesus truly dries away our tears, and he restores us to peace. And it's important for us as Christians to be at peace with the ways of the Lord. A root of bitterness, a root of anger, a spirit of questioning will not give you peace. But resting in the glorious hope of the resurrection and the return of the Lord Jesus certainly will. I assure you tonight that the same Lord Jesus who came down from heaven into this world to be our Savior, to be with us, to suffer on the cross for us and to conquer death in our place, that when we come to die, He will be with us. There is peace in the valley for a Christian. To the ungodly, it is a shadow of death. But to the Christian, it is a shadow of light. I read of a group of boys that were in the practice of sitting by a railway track, and that they would boast that they wanted to let the train run over them. And so there they would sit along the track and wait for the great locomotive to come and rumble through. But they didn't really want to get run over by the train. They were only run over by its shadow. They sat alongside the track. And every one of us here tonight must face death, one way or another. As we come to the close of a year, we're conscious of the passing of time. The years are fleeting by, and we must lay down this body, must lay off this old tent. But the Lord has promised that He will be with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I have a book that is filled with the testimonies of various Christians, of churches, denominations, missionaries, and their last words were recorded. It is absolutely thrilling. I will say this in closing. In that hour of death, no one ever regrets becoming a Christian. And if you tonight will put your trust in the Lord, He will save you. And as you face the future and your own death, Christ will be with you. Because He's a Savior today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's our comfort as we deal with this enemy called death. Death is defeated. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God that our Lord Jesus Christ hath triumphed. Triumphed for you and me. I pray tonight that these things will comfort your heart, and that you will rest and rejoice that your loved one in Christ is now in glory. And there's going to be a great reunion. Great reunion. What a day that will be. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank Thee this evening for helping us to dig into Your Word a little. We rejoice in this testimony of Zacharias, that day star appearing. Thank you, Lord, for the light that has come into our hearts. Many of us sat in darkness under a shadow of death, but you've shone the light of the gospel into our souls. You've given us this glorious hope, the hope of a risen Savior who's coming again, coming for His people, with His people, and shall lead them into that eternal state of glory. Let these things cheer our hearts tonight. Let the blessing of the Lord fill our souls this evening. And now dismiss us with your grace, your presence. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people now and evermore. Amen. Amen.